time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for June 11th. That's right, it's June 11th. Holidays today. National Corn on the Cob Day. Okay. Birthdays today. There's only one holiday. That's it. National Corn on the Cob Day. So we got birthdays today. Hikaru Shida is 34 today. Happy birthday, Shida, and maybe you'll win a championship again sometime in the future. The Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby, want to be a skater, officiate Rock City Roller Derby, needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. Welcome to the show today. We're getting right into it. I'm introducing myself. I'm your humble host, the Cash Man. I'm joined by DC Dan Cole from North Carolina. You got a new do there, DC.
Yeah, keeping it fresh, Cash. Yeah. Keeping it fresh.
Look at that.
And a week of questionable actions in the wrestling world means that today we have the bottle of gin ready for today's discussion.
No time like the present to start. All right. We're also joined by Rob Sanderson. He'll be in just a second. You'll see him in a second here. He's here.
I'm here. I don't know why you can't see me, but I'm here.
Oh,
good morning.
Good morning.
Have you tried turning the light on?
I don't know. I might have to unplug it and plug it back in.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens. We will be coming. You know, it's interesting.
Artiste has joined the House of Black.
Yeah.
Yes. Better that than Judgment Day. No supernatural gimmick needs.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to write that down. That's one thing I wanted to talk about. I didn't put down on the list. Okay, so
I'll give you the heads up right now, Cash. I just feel like I'm in a mood, and I'm going to crap on everything today.
Well, you know, I will. Well, we're going to, you know, there's a lot of things to talk about, and I guess I kind of want to start with talking about Cody Rhodes and what he did last weekend and what happened to him. And we were theorizing about him missing that. Did we even talk about it? No, I mean, it happened Saturday night that he, having Friday night, he got hurt. Saturday night is when he missed the show, or he came out at the end of the show. And Sunday we saw results of a torn pectoral, 100% tear of a pectoral muscle, which is in your chest. And really, what kind of colorful bruises that something like that leaves? And I guess the story was that Cody partially tore it Friday night in that little smudge that they were the pull apart that they were trying between him and Seth Rollins on Friday Night SmackDown, and then while working out the next day, finished it off. Didn't realize what he had done, and then finished it off, and so. Uncomfortable is the feeling, I would say, watching someone go out there that you know is hurt, legitimately hurt, wrestle in Hell in a Cell match in the main event. And I saw that famous internet wrestling reviewer personality gave it a 5 stars, 5 star for the match. I mean, and it's infamously known for not giving anything that high really often or ever, you know. And it's like, it's kind of like, Dave Meltzer's, he's been on the show. I might as well mention his name. Dave Meltzer's gave it a 5, and it was a great match. And it was like, but it was just uncomfortable to watch because bruising doesn't mean it tickles where that is. It means it hurts. And it's like, and when Seth Rollins is pushing a kendo stick into your bruises, you know, I mean, I'm sure Cody was all for it. It's like, let's see what we can go out there and do. I mean, he knew that was, you know, that was going to be the last time he wrestled. And now it looks like sometime until next year. I'll tell you, it's like, first, you know, when we started hearing that he actually was going to wrestle, it's like, okay, it's going to be a 2-minute long Hell in a Cell match, you know, it's or something like that. But man, he came out and gave it all. They probably did much the same as they would have done if he had been healthy as well. Cause he was doing all his regular moves and stuff. It's just, you know, you could tell it hurt a little bit more when he actually landed it and stuff. But, you know, I always thought, and this is just me, and I'm kind of rambling on here for a second, but I always thought that if you weren't able to wrestle, there was a doctor there that would stop you from wrestling. You know, and how do you explain that? I mean, it's like, well, it's not going to tear any more off the bone than it did, I guess, you know. So it's, I know, you know, is that the rationale behind it? I don't know. What did you think, DC?
Yeah, from what I've heard, Cash, just to tie in real quick to what you said, based on what I've read, that's exactly the justification, is he had already 100% torn it. So as dumb as it sounds to me, it couldn't have gotten worse. The injury was the injury. So essentially he was just playing hurt. I don't think it was necessary. And it was uncomfortable. That being said, of course, Cody gets all the credit in the world for doing that, because I think you'd be hard pressed to, you know, find a list of people who would be willing to endure that. So, you know, all the credit in the world to Cody for going through with that match. On the same hand, though, he can't win that match. And there would have been no harm in him losing to Seth, given the fact he was so seriously injured.
Yeah.
I think it made Seth look terrible. And then what they went ahead and did on Monday night just basically showed that WWE has no respect for the intelligence of their fans at all.
Yeah.
So all praise to Cody, but zero praise to WWE for the way they handled it.
And you know, in the end of the thing is, hey, there we are. Mr. Sanderson joins us.
So, surprisingly, I agree with what DC said. But
are you surprised? I think you and DC think more alike than apart. That's for sure.
Yeah, and then we're on opposing sides.
No, we usually agree on this. And what I'm saying is, I agree, but I also disagree, and I agree with the aspect of like he couldn't make it worse. I agree that you should not be performing athletically in that type of situation. It makes me think a lot of how much you hear of pro athletes being injured during the playoffs that you don't find out about those injuries until their team's eliminated. How a doctor can clear somebody for this, like, why do you even have doctors if they're going to let something like that happen? So I don't, like, there's a dangerous precedent out there. And I do think that that's a big part of it. Like, if it's already completely injured, it can't necessarily get worse. But then you have to think about the aspect of, like, okay, what if he has then no strength and tries to do some kind of a suplex or something, and he hurts his opponent because of his own injury. So it was a little uncomfortable. What I would say is 10 stars to Cody for the effort and the courage and the ridiculousness to go through and wrestle like that. That being said, I don't think it was a 5-star match. I don't think it could have been much better. And I think, like, there's nothing more Cody could have done. That's an unbelievable effort that will, like, give him points from wrestling fans forever. But it's weird to me that stuff like that is allowed. You know, you go through and there's so many other restrictions. And honestly, they vary so much like state to state in this country in terms of like athletic commissions and things like that. Would he have been allowed to perform if this was, where was Hell in a Cell?
I don't know. It was in Tempe. Was it Arizona? I can't remember. It was,
I don't know. It wasn't in New York State.
It was in Iowa, I think. I can't remember, to be honest with you. But yeah, if it was in Baltimore, you think that would have happened?
No chance.
Definitely. You know, what did you guys think? And listen,
it was in Illinois.
Illinois. Okay. I knew it was out in Central.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It was at Allstate.
Yeah.
Allstate.
That's right.
So yeah. They can get away with stuff more there. It was last night I watched a compilation on YouTube of like everybody that records themselves watching their reactions and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it was pretty entertaining seeing everybody's reaction to the second he took that ugly jacket off.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
That was all of us.
What did you think when, you know, you could see that he had some bruising on his chest, but when he took that jacket off, it was like, I said, I can't believe he's going through this.
There's no way that a single person watching that pay-per-view didn't react like crazy to that. Like it was, nobody thought it was going to look that bad. You know, and it was a good match. They did a lot. There were obviously some uncomfortable moments that made it a little better. I thought the Rollins coming out the next night was pretty good in terms of like what he said and stuff and closed the book. That attack was so unnecessary, so incredibly unnecessary and stupid and typical WWE. Like that to me just ruined the taste of the entire couple days that those two guys just went through. And the whole three-match feud and everything. Yeah, they can wrestle each other again in a year or whatever. That's great.
Yeah.
He did not need to be attacked. You didn't need to justify him taking time off to get surgery. Like, we already know he's hurt enough.
To say like, Cody was fine so before dumb. That attack.
Yeah.
It was so dumb.
Swerving just
to swerve.
Just wanted to rip that shirt open one more time so everyone could see those bruises all over his chest.
That was really what I was alluding to when I said WWE has no respect for the intelligence of their audience.
Yeah.
Because everybody knew Cody was seriously injured. Everybody knew he was going to need surgery. Everybody knew he was going to need time off. So you had him go through Hell in a Cell. You had him go through all of that. And then that stupid attack from Seth is supposed to be what gets Cody out of the picture for a while. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. And I mean, I believe the reports that WWE did not really pressure him into doing the match. I think he could have gotten out of that, but Cody is absolutely the type of person that's just like, no, I'm doing it. And so again, credit to him, all the credit in the world. I thought we were getting kind of dangerously toward a situation of him being pushed too much because that's what killed him in AEW. In a weird way, this kind of helps him. And now, of course, he's out for 9 months, aka how many months till the Royal Rumble, which is less than that. Oh, my God, he came back sooner. Yeah. What a warrior. But, you know, again, I can't believe and props to Rollins, too. I mean, you can say maybe the attack helped him, like, get his heat back after he lost 3 matches in a row, things like that. Like, yeah, I get that side of it, but there's other ways to go about it.
Yeah, you know.
But what I'd like to know, Artiste, what the booking of the match, though, the finish. Do you think Cody should have won?
No. Okay. No, I don't. I think he absolutely could have gotten the same out of the match by losing. You get a little sympathy, beat up. He tried. He fought through. He came up just short. No, he should not have won that match.
You know, I kind of said when we started up that once I heard he was wrestling and then you could kind of see the bruising on his chest before he took his coat off that maybe it would go 2.5 minutes. But I think they did everything they would have done in a regular match during that match. I mean, even Cody was doing all the signature moves that, you know, he could only do with one arm. I mean, when he couldn't lift his right arm when he came out, you know, you knew that there was a limiting in the match. But I'm now convinced Cody was going to be the Raw champion eventually, you know, because of the way he's been booked since he came in. And, you know, I just feel terrible for him because it's something that just happens on a fluke, an injury, especially when you're in the middle of getting that definitive push in the WWE where they're believing he's going to be champion. And I believe he was going to be champion. I knew, you know, without a doubt.
Yeah, honestly, Cash, yeah. I don't think this hurts that at all.
It delays it.
It just delays it. And honestly, as bad as this sounds, I think this is the perfect storyline. Because your last image is the hell he went through, no pun intended, in Hell in a Cell. And then he's going to come back at Rumble. He's clearly going to win it. And he is perfectly set up. That being said, I did want to talk about Seth because, you know, RT said, oh, maybe he got some of his heat back. But if you recall last week, we were talking about how damaging it was going to be for Seth if he lost a third straight match to Cody. Not only did he lose a third straight match to Cody, he lost to a one-armed Cody.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Seth will recover, and credit to him. I mean, the work he's doing is great these days. One of the few shining spots of that company right now, to be honest. And I hope they immediately have good plans for him next. Maybe he's the guy that wins Money in the Bank. Just to reiterate, though, like, who is on the poster for Hell in a Cell? Cody Rhodes. So, of course, he was going to be in the main event and stuff, and they didn't want him to not fulfill that match or whatever. Who was on the poster for Money in the Bank? Cody Rhodes. Stop putting all of your eggs in one basket. Like, I am a Cody fan. I like that he's getting a push. I can't wait to see him lift the belt. All of that stuff. And he's, like, the only reason that I've been watching anything from that company in recent months. That being said, this is a situation you put yourself in. You give one guy the title, both titles, disappears for months. You didn't have any of your world champion or tag team champions on that show. And now the one guy that you've been pushing, like the only babyface you've cared about, is now gone for the rest of the year. Like, so you're back in this situation again where, like, maybe you need to stop booking like this, where you're shoving somebody down everybody's throats. And luckily we didn't get to the point where people were sick of Cody yet, I think. But don't do it this way when he comes back. Like, learn from this, because had he not been being pushed to the moon and nobody else was getting any kind of push, then maybe it would have been more okay for him to not be in that match or lose that match or whatever.
Yeah, no, you make a lot of sense. You know, because of how in they were and on Cody, that's why I was convinced that pretty much he was going to take the championship. I'm guessing, but it leaves WWE in a big hole because it looks like that's what they were behind. I mean, full steam ahead, and it probably would have culminated in maybe a SummerSlam title win or something, you know, from.
Well, that's the whole thing is, like, I want to see him win the belt. Take the injury out of the equation. That's too soon. He just got back there. And, like, it's all about, like, for a babyface winning a world title, especially their first one, it's all about the chase. Once he gets that, then what do you do with him? And what do you do with him after he loses that title? Like, you don't need to rush to that moment. You need to get to the point where, like, he loses his first opportunity at the belt and has to fight to get another chance and all that kind of stuff. And it just felt like they were absolutely rushing it through the process. So now they're forced to slow it down through unfortunate circumstances. But, you know, had he not been injured, I still would have liked to have seen him have to go through, win the Rumble, do it at Mania next year, and make it that full one-year journey to getting the belt, as opposed to having it by summer.
True. You know, you make a lot of sense there, too. What you know, I mean, you know, it's interesting. Is, you know, did you guys feel the way he was getting pushed that he was going to be a champion before the end of the year? I mean, it just seemed.
Yes.
Yeah, it seemed like it. It was a. I mean, who else is a babyface on that company that could take his spot? That's what I'm wondering. I mean, now he's gone.
Not Riddle.
Well, Riddle's now, he's taking on Roman Reigns next Friday night. And who knows? It could be the first of Roman's titles to be dropped. And it might be going to Riddle. I wouldn't be surprised in the least to say Riddle. I mean,
I'd be very surprised.
I don't know. He's over with Vince. He's over with Vince McMahon. And, you know, it's like.
Yeah, but he's not Roman Reigns.
No, he's not. But it's like he had to be, you know, I mean, but I'm just saying that's. You know, who takes these guys? You know, I mean, there's no super baby face on Monday Night Raw, you know, that right now. And it's like,
And it's because of what RT said. They put all their eggs in one basket.
Yeah. You know, yeah,
and now as unfortunate as a position it puts them in, honestly, like I kind of said, I think the story is going to work better because I think we'd all agree that we'd rather see Cody get to the world title via the Rumble than via the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Well, and the question
doing it the way of the Rumble is way more special and more memorable.
And you win in WrestleMania. So, yeah.
Right.
Like it's time to push Rollins a little more, maybe, but like he's a heel. Yeah. Like him and Reigns doesn't make any sense.
No.
If you go to that. So maybe he shouldn't win Money in the Bank. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what they do these next few weeks.
Yeah,
I feel like they're in a really tough position and yeah. It's almost all their fault.
Well, and look at someone like AJ Styles was over huge, and then AJ Styles, you know, loses out to every time he takes on Judgment Day, and now he's disappeared since the last match. I mean, he was maybe a baby face when people were behind him that you might be able to ride, you know, to the top a little bit. I mean, he's held a championship before, so. But I just can't pick anybody on Raw, and I think they're in a booking conundrum right now because of this, you know.
And they have way too talented a roster to be in this position. But they sacrifice everybody else for the sake of one or two people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame because it's like, and you know, the thing is, I feel terrible for Cody Rhodes out of anything because he was getting what he wanted. He's come in and to WWE, and they were going to give him what he always wanted when he was there the first time, a path to the championship, and they were going to give him a championship run. And it's like,
he's still going to get it.
Yeah, it's delayed. I mean, listen, what he did in that match impressed everybody in that locker room, impressed anybody who's a wrestling fan or anybody in a wrestling locker room, you know, everybody. And Rob, you made a point about like other athletes who get hurt and stuff in sports and you really don't know about it till after. And most of them will probably look like Cody, but Cody, you know, wears tights. So when he takes his shirt off, that's what, you know, but I've seen like some athletes before in hockey and, in football that come out and are covered black and blue completely underneath their uniforms and stuff. So,
well, and even, I mean, there's terrible injuries that come out like from hockey players after they get eliminated. And it's like, how, to me, in a legitimate sport like that, how in the world does that get okay through doctors and stuff like that? Like, that's one of the things that just makes no sense to me whatsoever that that's allowed from a liability standpoint or whatever. But you know, I think it's hopefully this is just a delay in his path. There's not some massive change in WWE where then he's ready to come back and now they got new writers and stuff. They're like, yeah, never mind, not that guy. You have to believe that they'll follow through with this. And again, this is kind of what the original timing should have been, in my opinion. So, I think it'll be, you know, nice to see him come back and get that big pop. He'll probably be even more over at that point after this long cool off period. But I don't know. Hey, there's probably something to be said about not to question him too much because he just put through one of the most, I don't know, brave efforts we've ever seen. But why are you weightlifting after you tore your pec before your pay-per-view Hell in a Cell main event? Like, what? Like, it's okay. You can take a couple days off from that and not get to the point where now, like, if it's a partial tear, he'd be back a lot sooner. But it's a lot worse now. And I guess at least by the time it was Sunday, it was as bad as it could be. So, like, oh, well, might as well wrestle.
Yeah, did you see Cody had posted some pictures of how bad it got from the beginning, how it was just a little bit of black and blue, and then by the end of it, it was just like,
it was down to his fingers.
Yeah, yeah. It was all the way down his arm. It was like, yeah, that was – he, you know, kudos to him. And, you know, but, man, but the conundrum that they're left in now, it's like, does that have any explanation as to why Edge was kicked out of Judgment Day? You think that they're looking for somebody now?
Well, that's what I thought originally until I saw some other reports.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not really sure. But, I mean, and that was one other thing I did want to talk about. It's like, you know, I mean, we need to find someone to put in the main event slot there. And it's like, nothing was settled. I don't think this past week, but if Edge was kicked out, I thought maybe he would have an opportunity to at least, you know, Right. I mean, he's been in that position before where he, you know, he got the belt or whatever, or he got the, you know, everything. But that, I think Judgment Day was way too short for him to freaking build up enough heat that people really cared. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Do you see that? Maybe that might be something. What'd you see that maybe changed your mind there, DC?
Well, we were kind of talking about it on Monday night when it happened. Yeah. It's like, okay, Cody's going away. All of a sudden, Edge is being removed from his group. So maybe he's going to come back face, which typical WWE booking, it's questionable. It's like, well, he's just been a heel. He's better as a heel, but
yeah.
Okay, whatever. Now, the rumors are that WWE wanted to take Judgment Day in a more supernatural direction. And Edge vehemently disagreed with that decision. And then he's unceremoniously booted out same day. So I don't know if it was to get him out of action for a while to bring him back as a face, or I don't know if it's because WWE creative considered him in the way of what they wanted to ultimately do with the group. Because the way they did it made zero sense.
Well, add Finn Balor and they immediately turn around and stomp on Edge, you know? So,
but where was the tension there? Like, they were just fighting the night before.
Yeah.
Like, hold on.
It's very strange.
He's got to get the vodka. Hold on a second.
it's very strange, but I think if Edge was just turned on, he can't go right into something else related to the title or whatever. He's now got to deal with Judgment Day.
Yeah.
So to me, that doesn't solve anything there. It's quite the swerve and certainly one of the more surprising ones, but I don't get it. Like, they were starting to build something there. And it seems like one of those things, well, this will be a big surprise, so let's just do this. Okay. But then, like, what happens tomorrow? Like, where do we go with this? And so sure, him and Finn can feud and maybe somebody else ends up joining Judgment Day to make it more Bullet Clubby or whatever and stuff. Yeah. I don't know. I just don't think.
Yeah. George makes a good point.
I don't want to see Edge as a champion either. Like,
no, me neither. George makes a good point. He said, you know, Edge was the one, the mastermind behind everything. And what, they've been around for a month and a half, you know, or whatever. And now they boot him. It makes no sense. It's like,
again, it's either because they needed an immediate change for him, which it's not going to happen immediately. Or the disagreements over the direction were enough to unceremoniously boot him.
And Edge is a part-timer, so, you know, he doesn't have to be there.
He is a part-timer.
Yeah.
The one thing, I mean, this might not be fair, but, and obviously, Punishment, what's his name? Damian Priest,
Punishment Martinez.
Like he was on the mic on Monday and stuff, and he does fairly well on that. Finn Balor's an incredible wrestler. He, however, is not on Edge's level in terms of cutting promos and stuff like that. So if he's the leader of this group, is it going to be going as well as Judgment Day was? Like, is he going to be the guy that's speaking for Priest and Rhea and whoever else joins and stuff? I don't know. I just, to me, it doesn't, it's a very weird thing. I don't mind the idea of a heel Balor. I just... I don't know about him being like,
yeah,
I don't remember many memorable promos from him when he was like leading Bullet Club or anything. Like, I don't know. Maybe he just needs that opportunity to prove me wrong, but the whole thing's just weird.
Didn't it feel hot-shotted? Didn't it feel like, without a doubt. It was like a gut reaction to something else. That's what I felt like, you know.
It's like, and they're coming off a win, and it's like, yeah, Edge, you're holding us back.
yeah.
Oh God, it's gonna be a long morning.
Yeah. Let's have some more. that was, you know, and that, you know, and I'll be honest, we didn't even really talk about the Hell in the Cell pay per view. Overall, there was two great matches on that. The first match and the last match. And then we had the Oreo in the middle, you know, the Oreo, the cookie, you know, I don't know.
See, but that's being generous, because the cream in the middle of the Oreos
is good. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
This wasn't good. Yeah. There was, There was, you know, I mean, almost and Bobby Lashley. I mean, hopefully that's done forever. You know, especially when he beat MVP to win it. But yeah, it was just not a great show except for the first and last match. And the only reason it was the last is because everyone was cringing every move Seth Rollins did with Cody Rhodes in the ring when he's poking him with the kendo stick in the bruise.
That was the most uncomfortable one for me.
Yeah,
just digging that kendo stick in there.
Bruises, you know, bruises hurt. And when someone pushes them, they think it's funny. When you're a kid and you get a little one, and someone comes in and goes, hey, pss, ow, you know, it's like they think it's funny. It just someone we were talking and it's like, does someone is it, they felt maybe that there was some added makeup into that, but that was legit. No, that was one, yeah, there was nothing rubbing off them when they were pushing, you know. So
this wasn't like the flame repellent he had slathered on his back when he was in AEW.
Oh yeah,
there are still some conspiracy theorists out there that think that the entire thing is a work, but the entire thing was makeup and stuff. But I'm just like, you could not be more stupid.
They also think the election was stolen. So,
and by the way, yeah, but oh boy, I don't want to get into that. By the way,
you can tell my reaction. Yeah.
Just call me Red Velvet. I like to stir it up.
Now I forgot what I was going to say.
That could be a segue too. But,
yeah. Big time, yeah. So it. Well, I will say that Cody. I think what one of the things by him going out there is that he keeps it fresh in the mind of Vince McMahon what this guy did for his company. You know, and Vince McMahon takes it very personally when you go above and beyond, and that was above and beyond anything. I've never seen anyone more. Injured. I mean, it may have just been a tear here, but it was, you know, it looked 100 times worse. You know, so it was, you know, I think that that's a good thing. Cody will come back in the same spot. The WWE is really good at doing that. Like if someone gets hurt, they'll like resume their push as soon as they come back. In the olden days, you know, people like if you're not on TV, you get lost in the mix. I think that they, you know, when they have plans like they were with Cody, the way he was really getting the push. I mean, you know, he only really faced one person, you know, two people actually since he came back, Seth Rollins and The Miz, I think, on Monday night. But I mean, it was a to the moon push without a doubt, and it was going to culminate in him winning a title someplace, and eventually, I don't know how they would have got him and Reigns together, but it would be interesting to see how it would have happened. But now it makes you wonder because remember, next WrestleMania is supposed to be The Rock and Reigns. So, and maybe Reigns will have no belts by the time that comes around. You know, I don't. Who knows? But speaking of conspiracy theorists,
shouldn't have any belts if that's going to be the match.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. We don't want The Rock to hold the title for a year where he shows up four times or whatever, like it was when he against John Cena. You know. Speaking of conspiracy theorists, and I didn't want to really bring this up. We talked about it a couple weeks ago when Stephanie McMahon was sent home from the company, you know, and since that happened, I've read a lot of things about why she was sent home, and Vince McMahon was the man behind sending her home, apparently. And it's because the people in the company, in the corporate structure of the company didn't feel, and this is what I heard, I don't know if there's any truth behind it, but they felt that she didn't fit in the corporate structure of a company to be in the position she was in. And that, and they were starting to doubt her, what she could do. And so, and that's the, I don't know if you guys read any of those theories on why she was sent home, but that was one that really surprised me because it's like, she was heir apparent as far as I know to running that company. So.
Yeah. She has been summarily thrown under the bus.
Yeah.
Since she left. And, but let's just now point out that Vince McMahon has orchestrated the removal of both of his children from the company.
Yeah. Yeah, and
makes it easier for him to turn around and sell it.
Yep. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, boy. But if this doesn't set up a sell, I don't know what does. You know, I mean, now and Triple H is back. That's funny then when Stephanie was sent home, Triple H was brought back full time. So, I mean, you know, and
well, I think clock's ticking on him now too.
I was going to say, but not the same position he was in before. So, it's like you know, but I thought that was interesting that I started reading all this stuff, you know, and I mean, a lot of it's, you know, if you read it from certain people online, it's just speculation. But when you read it more than once, you know, sometimes, you know, these whispers, there's some truth behind it. So, but it's interesting because Stephanie McMahon was, I thought, head of creative at one point, and now no longer. So, I thought that was some interesting news that came out this week. That it's still kind of coming out. We'll say that you know, reasons why she was sent home and everything. But the funny thing was, it was her dad who did it. So he probably, you know, who knows, maybe. What's the guy, Khan, the one that's
Nick Khan,
the one who's in his ear? But I think this guy has gotten so much more power in that company than anybody would have ever suspected. You know, he did a couple things good, and now and they turned out right. And boom, look at that. He's like, you know, now he's getting rid of McMahon's. You know, it's pretty crazy. Some other
say it just leads more to that rumor that it's going to be sold sooner than later.
Yeah, I remember she was getting.
He's eliminated all heir appearance, and he's made it clear. Oh, if it can't be me, then it's not going to be anybody in my family.
Interesting. Well, you know, maybe it's wise. I don't know. I don't know. Stephanie McMahon, as much as I don't like her as a person on TV, she won a lot of, you know, she won a lot of executive awards. She was very visible in the company. She was a great spokesperson, and you know, I'm sure it'll come out when she writes.
And a very attractive woman.
Yeah, well, some people would say, and I'm sure
those people would be correct.
Yep.
But the funny thing is, I bet you someday after her dad passes away, we get a biography or something where everything comes out about what, you know, what happened. But yeah, and now, yeah, and it's funny as you mentioned Shane McMahon being. It was just, I don't know if you saw a post. Posted a picture a couple days ago of 5 years ago when SmackDown was in Rochester, and Shane McMahon they were doing the first Money in the Bank match with women. And it's like, and just cause I was in like right around the briefcase where, you know, if you looked at in the darkness, but I remember that's when they had brought him back. Originally that's right after, when he was on hiatus for a long time, and then they brought him back, and that was like one of the first things he really, you know, he was like in charge of or whatever, you know, SmackDown. And but, you know, now he's, you know, he's nowhere to be seen as well. You know, it always have something to do with the company. But so I wanted to mention one thing. I did say something about injuries affecting the product and stuff like that, and, you know, WWE is going through it, but AEW is going through it just as well. You know, I mean, you know, it's kind of, I think it's going to hurt their Forbidden Door pay-per-view booking because of what they were planning on doing, I think. I mean, there's very little written out down yet what's going on that pay-per-view, but, you know, it's still, you know, what do you guys think about, Adam Cole, CM Punk, Samoa Joe, supposedly. I mean, there's a handful of guys.
Scorpio Sky. There's a whole list.
As unfortunate as all the injuries are, they have enough talent there where any combination is going to make for great matches.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's obviously they've got to be really upset that they don't have Punk in Chicago for it. But yeah, I mean, it's a very difficult show to book, and it kind of in a wrong way helps them decide who's not on the show and stuff. But more than anything, if we don't get Bryan Danielson on Forbidden Door, that's just an absolute travesty. Like, that's just the worst possible situation.
And that's another injury. That's another guy injured that we didn't mention, and we're not really even sure what's going on with him on that.
Well,
either they're downplaying it, but they're saying, I've heard it's like a 1 to 2 week thing, but then I've heard the C word. Not the cancer word, but the
concussion,
other
concussion, the one that you don't want to hear with Daniel Bryan, or Bryan Danielson,
easy there, JR.
That's not a good situation at all. And if that is the case, which, I mean, we haven't heard anything, so that leads me to believe that could be the case, because that's always the one that's kept the most secretive in the sports world. If he does have an upper body injury like that, it's not good. And he's the last person that you should rush back in 1 to 2 weeks from something like that. So if that's what he has, I hope he doesn't wrestle for a while, but it's an absolute shame if he's not on that pay-per-view. He's the number one person in that company that should be, he should be in the main event of that pay-per-view. So
Well, I mean, if Punk can't be, yeah, certainly. But it looks like now the way
even if they're both healthy, I'd still rather see Danielson in the main event of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's 10
Punk,
times
Punk not being a part of that does not upset me at all.
Well, we got
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Well, we got this past Wednesday on AEW was a battle royale to determine who was going to take on John Moxley at the end of Wednesday night's show to see who was going to go.
Didn't we and everybody else in the world say who was going to escape Wednesday night as the number as the person moving on the Forbidden Door? Because that wasn't predictable at all.
No. But you know, I will say that Mox most likely it looks like he's going for the interim AEW title. Looks like he's going to either take on Tanahashi or Goto, which those are two names that have been thrown around from New Japan. Haruki Goto.
They wrestle each other essentially tonight because Dominion starts at 1 a.m. Eastern tonight. So winner of that moves on. So again, Moxley beating Tanahashi. I'm saying it for weeks. DraftKings, please let me place a bet on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have a feeling that's where we're going. But it's interesting. I'm guessing Punk's going to be there. Just because he's the interim champion as well. But he had never was specific about what his injury was. We all assumed it was a broken bone in his foot, but now they keep saying it was a lower leg injury. But it's also the surgery he had, he's not going to keep him out as long as everyone thinks it is. So if it was a bone injury and he needed surgery, then good, because that he'll be back sooner than, say, for instance, if he had like a tendon injury or something or a muscle problem. But we are all assuming he had a broken bone in his foot. That's even Sports Illustrated said that. So, I'm guessing he will be there. But that's one of the matches. There's three matches mentioned so far. That's going to probably be the main event. Moxley and Tanahashi, most likely. Then we got a Fatal Four.
100%. It's already confirmed to be the main event.
Yeah, I was going to say Fatal Four Way for the inaugural. Oh, and that's another thing I want to talk about. And because I know we all love more titles. They're going to have the fatal four-way for the inaugural AEW All-Atlantic title with Pac versus Malakai Black versus Penta versus Miro versus or Ethan Page. Depends on who wins, Miro or Ethan Page versus another New Japan star to be determined. What now? I know when they made that, they were going to make a big announcement. Did we think that they were going to be adding another belt? And if they were going to add another belt,
thought it was going to be Trios.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Had no idea they had another singles title in the world.
Yeah.
And so, if it wasn't that, I was hoping it was going, well, let me take that back.
Yeah.
I didn't want Trios. I still don't want Trios, but whatever. It's going to happen, and that's much better than this. I was kind of hoping it was maybe going to be women's tag. So many belts. And somebody please hand Tony Khan a map. Japan, China, Australia. These places are not anywhere near the Atlantic Ocean. You have the Japanese flag and the Chinese flag on this belt that says All Atlantic, like right next to those flags.
Yeah, there's no Atlantic compared to China.
No sense.
Yeah, there's...
And why does it have to be the all elite, all Atlantic? Like, why does it have to be all Atlantic?
Did you see the someone zoomed in and it looked like it was freaking Kenny Omega in the image on the belt at one point? You got go through.
Oh yeah, no, that definitely yeah. Like him giving them what move was that? Cody maybe?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe a DVD or something, but yeah, I don't understand the point of this. And it's just, it to me too, it's kind of like another rushed thing. Like you got this belt where you pretty much just use the women's title plates, modified a couple things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like all of a sudden we've got this belt and the match we already announced for tonight is now going to be one of the qualifying matches, and we're going to crown a new champion. Do something, get the TNT belt back to what it needs to be first. And I don't know. It's just for a company that has 3 hours of real TV a week and four pay-per-views a year for the most part. You don't need it.
And it's not what we were expecting if they were going to announce any new belt, you know, because they even did a trios match last night on Rampage. We got trios match, you know, with Will Ospreay and those other two dudes. I can't remember.
Oh, God.
Aussie Open.
So we got, yeah, and that was a, but the big surprise, you know, after, you know, and that. That be there's still one more match I didn't mention though. IWGP World Heavyweight Title match, Adam Cole or Adam Page versus Jay White or Okada. Depends, again, it's floating up in the air right now who it's going to be in that. But Will Ospreay shows up on AEW Dynamite, the very end of the show. And now listen, you got to be a wrestling fan to know Will Ospreay. Because, I mean, yes, he was in Ring of Honor, but that was also on, you know, very low-power TV stations all over the place. He's not been on a main show. And this is like the first time we're really seeing Ospreay in America on a national platform. And then the dumbest thing, I think, on the planet was last night, they lose in the trios match. You know, it wasn't him, but still. Yeah.
That's why, you know, where as much as I was on WWE's case,
yeah,
I am just as much on AEW's case, because there was some really dumb booking this week. That one you just mentioned, you cannot debut Will Ospreay, who is arguably, if not the top, in the top three best wrestlers in the world right now. And you have him lose in a trios match, even though he didn't take the pin. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And then
I do think there's a huge difference that he didn't take the pin. And it did help Trent. We'll see if they actually continue to do something with him or not, because the booking of Trent is so weird with, oh, best friends. Oh,
Roppongi Vice.
Oh, he's heel. He's face. He's heel. He's face. But, yeah.
Yeah. No, I totally agree that, like, not even just for Ospreay's sake. We probably won't see Aussie Open around AEW after Forbidden Door, but there's no reason for that team to lose. I think everything keeps feeling rushed. I mean, you didn't have a ton of time between Double or Nothing and Forbidden Door, but it's like, Will Ospreay's here, and not only that, but we're gonna give you his first match in an AEW ring on the Rampage taping in a few minutes, and it's gonna air in 2 nights. That's not even something, like, he could just show up and not wrestle to the pay-per-view and it would be fine. I just don't, why would you give that away like that and then have his team lose? There were a lot of questionable booking decisions. I totally agree with that for this week. A lot. Yeah,
I'd put that up there with the top booking mess up this week. And I'd also put, you cannot have Buddy Matthews lose his first singles match.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was...
That was another just boneheaded booking decision to me. As much as they've hyped him up, and nothing against Pac, I like him. I think he's incredibly underrated and undervalued. But I think Buddy needed a singles win.
Well, I mean, what I'll say is that I think Pac should win the All Atlantic title. I agree, like, Buddy, they haven't done much with him at all. And it's a problem because they're in all of these trios and stuff. And, like, would it make sense for when all of these wrestlers in the company are in factions or three-man groups or whatever, does it make sense for one of the non-leaders to have a singles title? Like, Buddy Matthews, if he walked out with House of Black, but he was the one with a singles title and not Malakai Black, would that make sense? It's really weird to me that, like, the last thing we needed was another men's singles title or women's singles title. We don't need any more singles titles in that company right now. Pac is overdue for something in that company. So, hopefully that's not something that really hurts Buddy. I don't have a huge problem with Pac winning that match, but that match being booked in the first place is questionable. But obviously, it was a great match.
Yeah, so. there was a lot of good. I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. The trios last night on Rampage was great. It was exciting. Yeah. I mean, FTR was freaking just awesome. You know, it was,
all the matches were great. Yeah. Yeah. It's just were the decisions correct?
Yeah. It's
which well, I guess it's not all, up to us as long as we're entertained.
A little bit of a stretch, but I mean, I love Eddie Kingston. But I don't need to see any more Jake Hager. That was the most boring match they've made Kingston do in a while. There's some, I will say, like, since you mentioned earlier, I can't believe some of these things that I'm starting to say these days, but props to Red Velvet. She's improving a lot.
That was a good match last night. It took a while
for that to start to happen, but yeah, she looked the best she's ever looked last night.
Her and Chris Stratton. Better than Marina Shafir.
Yeah, her and Chris Stratlander put on a good match.
Now you're giving me heat. Yeah. Why does she have a job?
Marina Shafir. Well,
I have never heard oh, this person didn't get a reaction. Is it possible to get a negative reaction? Because I feel like that's what happened when Marina Shafir walked out on Wednesday. Like, there was nothing. It was weird to watch her come out and get beyond zero recognition from the crowd.
It would have been perfect time to start from a commercial break with her in the ring already, you know, because the
one of those times, yeah, where someone doesn't get an entrance.
Yeah.
Yeah. She needs it.
But they're pushing her. You know, we didn't
really get much of a reaction either. Thunder Rosa.
Yeah. I was going to say the whole match in general was pretty quiet, you know,
but it was still noticeably more than what Marina got.
Oh yeah. No. And it got better. Like once the match got going, but when she came out there, like, I just think nobody was excited to see that match. Marina doesn't deserve to have a title shot. The problem is that she has a contract. She is somebody who has not gotten any better in years and has no business being on television in any company, period. She's at this point, I would say, I mean, because even like Satnam Singh looked okay last night. She's probably the worst wrestler in AEW that's under contract. And
well, how many times
are you going to put her out there?
We haven't seen Paige Van Zandt that much, though. You know,
honestly,
based on what we've seen already.
Yeah.
I mean, she's going to be better.
At least Paige appears to have personality.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And charisma. Whereas, like, Marina Shafir is a black hole where everything goes to die.
Marina Shafir is like making me like. It's like, what did I do? Why are we getting punished by AEW? To have to watch her wrestle.
Oh, come on.
Like, I literally feel like I'm like in detention or something. Like, please let me change the channel. Please just move to the next.
Just remember who she was trained by, her husband. Okay. Roderick Strong. And Roderick Strong does not have the most personality on the planet in the ring either. You know?
No, but he can wrestle.
Yeah, he can. No, you're right there. You know, and yeah, I
wrestle in AEW though.
I've heard that Shafir was training with, Ronda Rousey recently. I don't know if you guys saw
another great professional wrestler.
what did AJ say in her promo all those years ago? Wrestling talent is not sexually transmitted.
Well, yeah, you know, but you know, who knows? But at least she's, you know, she's got a good coach because you know Roddy's a good wrestler. So you know, and who knows?
No, I mean, but she's had enough time to get to the point where she can have a decent match. It's been years.
I think
since she had her first match.
Yeah, that's true. I was going to say,
but I don't want to see her wrestle on. I don't even want to see her not just wrestle on Elevation or Dark. I don't even want to see her wrestle a Dark match that's not even put on Dark. Don't put her in the ring again.
All right. So, yeah. And it's like, and unfortunately that was, you know, that was like a down spot for Dynamite this week. It felt like it was quiet, you know, while the match was going on.
And why is that the only thing that the women got like all night? Like the booking of the women's division continues to be a joke.
It just makes me think everyone's hurt. 9:30
slot with a predictable match. Like that still doesn't count. Like, oh, Thunder Rosa is upset that she's not getting anything. She should be, and that's what you give her, the 9:30 slot against Marina Shafir. Please, why don't you just put Marina Shafir out there against Ivelisse and everybody can go stand in the concession line?
Oh, Yeah, that's, we haven't seen her in a while. I mean, that's a good thing, you know.
Jade Cargill can wrestle circles around Miss Karina Shafir. How much more do I have to say?
Yeah. But you did mention that Red Velvet was out there. Red Velvet had a great match last night. I thought it was really good. I mean, Red Velvet really can work. I mean, probably one of the best workers of the three that come out there, you know, the baddies, you know.
Kiera should be getting more matches, but obviously she's next in line in this build for Statlander to get another chance at Jade and take the title from Jade.
Sure, sure. Yeah. And but, by the way, Statlander looked great last night, too. You know, I mean,
she always does.
Yeah.
I was going to say, she's always looked great.
Yeah.
Definitely.
She needs to be the next TBS champion. Needs to.
Definitely. So let's move on to some other things. Oh, I do want to say that I think it was yesterday Cody had the surgery and everything's good. Let's see.
Thursday
night it was. A doctor repaired Cody's pectoral tendon, which was completely torn out the bone. Successful surgery, is on the road to recovery. So, you know, it's funny. I mentioned we were talking when we were watching when I was watching the pay-per-view that when most of the guys in wrestling, when they tear a pec, it never comes back. You know, it always is kind of odd. Like, remember Scott Steiner had like that hole in the middle of his chest because he tore his pec, and it just never was never placed back perfectly. And so he always hit just muscle damage and stuff. So let's see how, make sure Cody comes back okay when he comes back. You know, if he doesn't have any, you know, because I mean, they have to basically loop the tendons around a freaking bone to make it, to put it back in place. And sometimes it doesn't set. And there's a few guys who've had like tear, like I think Kofi Kingston had a tear in his pec too. And that's why he doesn't have pecs anymore, or they're just kind of weird looking, you know, but yeah, hopefully he got a great doctor and everything came, you know, it's come out. Cody doesn't get hurt that often. I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, he gets COVID and stuff, but not, you know,
I don't know if I ever noticed that with Scott Steiner, but
if you look at his chest, he's got like a big empty spot, you know, where it looked like it tore.
His freaks and his peaks and his valleys.
Yeah. Yeah, so but WWE did mention after the surgery that Cody will be back next year. So it's like, we're not talking 6 months. We're talking like nine. But in reality, we talked earlier on the show, it probably will be the Royal Rumble because it would be a good place to start, you know. So I'm going to do some news now. We've already talked like 50-some-odd minutes about other things. Some news, WWE Hall of Famer Unpredictable Johnny Rods underwent heart surgery this past week. Johnny Rods, as a kid, he was a jobber. Someone, when I remember, he was the guy who always would lose to the stars. He always made him look great. And he also trained the Dudleys. So it's like... he turned 81 on May 16th. He wrestled for more than 35 years. He retired in 85. It shows you how long he's been gone. And he was like super, he was a jobber to the stars. I mean, you'd go to a show here in Rochester. They'd come here three or four times a year in Rochester. He would put on like a 40-minute match. You know, they would go out and he would, you know, and he could show you what he could do. So he was always a great, you know, and he did, like I said, he did train 3D and some other people too. I think he also trained Homicide. I think he had something to do with. So we would send our best out to the, to Johnny Rods, WWE Hall of Famer, the unpredictable Johnny Rods. Why he was unpredictable? Nobody ever figured that one out. You know, that's just his name, I guess. And because he didn't do unpredictable things, you know, he just got booze. This past week, Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz were both moved to WWE NXT. And as Danger Boy, who's not here, pointed out, Apollo Crews lost his accent. I don't know if you saw that or saw the you know that or not, but Apollo Crews is a bet that, you know, there's been rumors of people being cut, another cut coming because it's been 6 months now, and the, you know, and so maybe we're seeing some shuffling of people around, but we did see Crews show up and be a face on NXT this past week. Someone said Brian Alvarez of online said that F4W online, which is part of Dave Meltzer's website, did come out and say that we're at the 6 month period for evaluation, so don't be surprised if you see some guys get cut, so be prepared for that. Just warning you now. Some other news. John Cena, they announced it this past Monday that they're John Cena's 20th anniversary with WWE is going to be culminated June 27th Raw from Laredo, Texas. It's almost assured that he's going to be wrestling Austin Theory at SummerSlam. You know what? I don't hate John Cena. as much as I used to. I didn't hate him. I just not a fan, you know, I mean, because, you know, I'm not a young child nor a female, you know, or double B, our pad, our old host who loved it.
I've seen just as many adult males wearing his stuff.
I shouldn't kid about stuff like that because he was number one seller, but he is going to be coming back for a little bit to celebrate. Can you believe it's been 20 years since Ruthless Aggression, him and Kurt Angle in the middle of the ring was a 2002? That's insane that it's been.
To me, that's the one that doesn't surprise me because he was shoved down our throats for so much, for so long. Like, I respect John Cena immensely. That being said, I have no interest in watching him in a feud with Theory.
Theory.
None. Not at all.
Yeah, I think Theory wants it more than anybody else, you know, and he's been like, you know, pitching for it. So I don't know. I mean, John Cena wants to get over to kids, you know. I mean, that usually, you know.
I think Seth could use the rub more.
Yeah, I mean, you know, could do something unpredictable with Cena and do something crazy, but that would be so not typical WWE, you know. I mean, it's only like less than a month from now. It's a couple weeks from now, so. We will see what happens, you know. If you like John Cena, you're going to get him again. Remember last year, they completely forgot that we had a month of Cena last year. Remember? Didn't we get a whole month of him, like August? He was there for like all the house shows and all live events and as well as all the TV shows. So it's like it hasn't been that long, but I have a lot of respect for him just because, you know, I hated him when he was shoved down our throat, and now that he's not shoved down our throat, I kind of, you know, and I reminisce, you know, it's like, you know, maybe it wouldn't be a bad thing for him to come back, you know, because, you know, just to show up and maybe wrestle a match or something like that. It's just good
if
that
he comes back as Peacemaker.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah. Oh my gosh,
you like doing the dance and everything.
Oh Lord. Yeah, I have to work that in. Let's make sure the 27th. We'll start hashtagging Peacemaker dance. See if we can get him to like do a little bit on TV. So, some other news: Impact is celebrating their 20th anniversary with Slammiversary a week from tomorrow, Sunday, June 19th, from the Nashville Fairgrounds. They've had some really good shows the last couple of weeks, building it up, and the main event's going to be Eric Young versus Josh Alexander for the Impact World Title, which I think is really cool because. I don't know if you've seen some of the interviews. Killian Dane did an interview this past week where he said it was dumb for WWE not to put the NXT title on Eric Young when Sin was part of NXT. You know, they had a momentum going and everything, and then they just they called him up and wasted him. And you know, he was in catering for months, not doing anything. But did you guys see that interview with Killian Dane? And, you know, what do you think that Eric Young is the kind of guy that NXT, that WWE would put a title on? I mean, he was Impact champion, won like everything you could get in Impact Wrestling, and then comes over, changes it into like the psycho Eric Young, and still very entertaining. And he's a great wrestler. I mean, we've seen him here in town here where he's like no cameras were on him, and he put on a incredible match. So I'm a big Eric Young fan, so it's like I would not have a problem if he wins the Impact title at their 20th anniversary. You know, he's one of the originals, so.
I was never a fan of hearing him talk for long periods of time, but.
I would agree.
He could certainly go in the ring, and yeah. I do agree that his whole run in NXT and WWE was wasted. And I particularly felt robbed that they really didn't do anything with Sanity. But, you know. That's what we've all come to expect from WWE nowadays.
Rob, you have any thoughts on Eric Young?
I mean, I really like him. I don't know if him versus Josh Alexander is really the match. Like, EY has such a history in that company, but like, is that your main event for like your biggest pay-per-view ever or whatever, your 20th anniversary, Slammiversary? Like, I don't know. I'd rather see like with somebody like Sammy's back and he's wrestling Moose and stuff, and I just feel like there's I don't know, there could have been other people in that spot.
As long as they don't put him in,
like they pushed Eric Young the right way, like he's been doing the stuff with Diener and Joe Doering and stuff, and like now all of a sudden he's just in the main event of, I don't know, it's weird to me.
As long as they don't put him in a turkey suit. You know, because I mean, if you go back and look at the history of Impact Wrestling, he was always comic relief for many, many years. You know, I mean, he was married to ODB. You know,
Cody Diener was.
No, Eric Young was married to ODB in Impact storyline, not real life. No, you know, but
did they do that all? No, Cody Diener. What I'm saying was, him and ODB were a couple.
Yeah.
In 2009.
Well, Eric Young married her at one point, and I don't know why, because they were both doing goofy stuff, you know, and she was, you know, bamming it, and he was, you know, crazy Eric Young, and I think it was like a month later they weren't married anymore or whatever.
I guess that sounds.
Yeah, no, he.
So, but they also did something with Diener. I guess they didn't get married, but either way.
Yeah, Dean. Well,
some of that stuff's been a little more forgettable.
Like I said, it's comedy stuff. He did a lot of but they've got, this is a pretty good pay-per-view. I mean, so far for what's set up, Good Brothers and the Briscoes for the Impact World title, you know, rematch. Ryan Myers, Rich Swann for the Impact Digital Media title, Monsters Ball between Moose and Sammy Callahan. Now listen, as much as I like some gimmick matches, Monsters Ball, I don't know, there's weird things you got to do in the match, and you know, or like the King of the Hill. Remember that one? Ugh, that was
King of the Mountain.
King of the Mountain, yeah, that one. Yeah, it's like
King of the Hill match might be interesting.
Though. Yeah, yeah, you have Hank Hill.
I'll tell you what,
Bobby, something wrong with that boy,
Bobby.
Bobby. they've got 10-man tag with Honor No More against Impact Originals. They've got Jack Evans, Kenny King, Mike Bailey, Trey Miguel, Alex Zane, and Ace Austin for the Ultimate X for the Impact. So it's going to be a bunch of gimmick matches. Got Queen of the Mountain match. Queen of the Mountain for the Impact Knockout World title. Chelsea Green, Deanna Peraza, Mia Yim, Jordan Grace, and Tasha Steele. So, you know, that's coming up a week from tomorrow. So it looks like exciting. But, yeah, you know, I think about it more now. I'd rather see, like, Moose and Josh Alexander again, you know, for the title. But it may just be.
I guess, yeah, it should be something that's, like, built up longer for this pay-per-view main event than Eric Young being in that spot.
Remember they gave him the title the second he came back, you know, and then he got hurt. So, Mickey James is the enforcer for the Queen of the Mountain match. So she's going to be making another appearance in Impact Wrestling, which she's of course just did Impact. She was part of the Royal Rumble and WWE. She's like, she's everywhere, you know, and gotta love Mickey, you know, and NWA as well, you know, so I don't think I have much other news to talk about. Is there anything else I missed this past week that we should talk about? I'm trying to think.
There's a ton of wrestling on tonight if you're looking for non-WWE stuff to watch. Mentioned Dominion's at 1 a.m. There's the NWA pay-per-view at 8 o'clock. There's Wrestling Revolver and AAW. And there's so much going on with that. Impact next weekend. Like, there's a lot of good stuff there. I think Dominion tonight is really intriguing more than normal, just because, I mean, that's like their SummerSlam, I guess you could say. It's their second biggest show of the year or whatever. And obviously it has direct implications on Forbidden Door. So might try to watch that live, maybe get a nap in first or something. But ESW Niagara Falls next weekend. Just looking forward to that as well.
Oh, that's right.
So, going to snag yourself a haystack when you're out that way?
I hope so. If the timing works out, I don't know if it will, but man, those are good.
After seeing the picture of it, it's like, oh, they're like those. Got me hungry. It's like, I've been out that way before too. Never had one. So I'm going to have to check that out. Oh, someone wants to, Paige asked for a release. Paige didn't ask for a release. They just didn't resign her. So Paige did put up a post saying she's leaving WWE July 7th. It's because the contract wasn't renewed. You know, but Paige hasn't wrestled in, what was it like? Did I see like 800 days she hasn't been on TV or something like that? It was, that's like a couple years, you know? you know, she's still out there and she's significant. She just, you know, they let her do her Twitch stuff, which makes her money, definitely.
I mean, I think if she's healthy enough, like she was very clear in her statement that she's not, she hasn't had her last match. So it's been 4 or 5 years since she's had a match, but she's definitely somebody that could get a lot of attention if she pops up in AEW or something in the future. So I don't, there's no reason for her to be under a WWE contract right now with no backstage show and her not wrestling and stuff. It's, it almost feels like it's just one of those contracts that was just to kind of keep her away from other companies.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. And they know her intent. They know she wants to wrestle and she's been trying to get okay to wrestle for a long time. You know, look, I guess Liv Morgan's in a movie called Kill Room with Samuel Jackson and Uma Thurman. That's, I didn't know that, but,
the only other thing I could think of this week that we didn't talk about is that on, after thinking about it, we probably shouldn't talk about, let's just say that, certain WWE Hall of Famers should stay off Twitter, especially with really dumb takes.
Yeah. I actually had that on our list and then I crossed it off. So it's like, you know,
I props to, X-Pac.
And, and everyone
Nick Foley and others for calling him out on his BS.
Yeah.
So,
and, we'll just say it's someone who's a mayor, okay? We'll just throw that out there. I'm not going
to... Someone who should go back to Parts Unknown.
Yeah, Parts Unknown.
The big red idiot. Yeah.
he made some statements that are just... I mean, is he trying to get reelected in the South? Maybe. I don't know. You know, it's like... but, yeah, there's been some controversial things said, you know, online. But, yeah, I love the first one I saw was X-Pac's return to it. And it's like, if you want to know, just go check his Twitter. You'll know what we're talking about. And you know where we stand, I think, you know, on this pretty much. Because, you know, there's way too much gun violence in the United States. And the world knows that. And the only one who doesn't know it is people who side with the NRA. So, I mean, you know, I mean, maybe there's some out there listening to this show. I'm sorry if you don't agree, but, you know.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
No. No, and to be honest, like, Kane has had some horrible views on a lot of other things in recent years, too. So this is, it wasn't a surprise. But, yeah, I don't need to see him showing up in WWE anytime soon and getting a pop or anything.
No, definitely. You know that, you know where he got his political stance was driving around with Val Venus. Seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, and Val Venus is a libertarian. So it's like, you know, so it, I remember, you know, him, cause we, when we interviewed him, he was talking about, they would drive, that's all they do is talk about stuff like that when they're on the road and stuff. And it's like, okay, so that's who you bounced all your ideas off of. Makes sense.
I don't see the Undertaker calling Kane out anytime soon. But.
No, I don't think so either. You know, it's like, yeah, but yeah, so just, yeah, be careful what you tweet, you know, especially, you know, if you're, I don't know, a 7 foot tall red monster who doesn't get it. On that note, we're going to finish up this week then. I want to thank everybody who has like been following us and yeah, not too much news this week. I mean, yeah, Cody Rhodes did dominate everything. We did have to talk about Cody. You know, I think after this week, a lot of the world, maybe who people who didn't like him, maybe have a little bit more respect for that guy, you know, just because of what he went through and what we saw again. And you can't fake that, you know, injuries and stuff like that, you know, not well, at least without, you know, millions of dollars in special effects and stuff, you know, but yeah, that was legit. So that note, I'm going to say, don't forget, check us out next week. Same bat time, same.